Good morning, this is Paul Ingram of PainScience.com. It is Friday, June the 10th, and today I'll be reading to you a post called The Pain Reprocessing Therapy Study is Way Too Good to Be True. Today I'm going to summarize a scientific paper without saying much about the science itself, which is kind of an odd departure. Ashar et al. Is a paper in a good journal, a very good journal, JAMA Psychiatry, about a study with an impressively positive result for pain reprocessing therapy for low back pain. That's capitalized, capital PRT. So PRT is a psychological treatment based on the big claim that back pain is powered by the mind and can be relieved by changing your mind. Quote, substantial and durable relief, close quote. Just from what they called shifting patient beliefs about the causes and threat value of pain. Sounds awfully all in your head to me, and I'm never willing to completely dismiss psychosomatic medicine, but you know, clearly this trend of attributing pain to patients' beliefs does not serve and is in fact downright dangerous for the many, many chronic pain patients who obviously have an organic cause for their pain and undiagnosed pathology. The result of this trial, the reason I'm writing about it, it's not just good results, they're great results. They are bloody amazing results, far better, in fact, than we have come to expect for any kind of treatment for any kind of serious chronic pain. And on this basis alone, we could probably just walk away and say, yeah, that's a too good to be true study. But there are other issues. In any case, I urge you not to take these results at face value. Even if these results are real, the interpretation is highly suspect, and it's probably not what it looks like. So instead of the science itself, the thing that I'm going to mostly focus on is the conflict of interest elephant in the room. Normally when I write about a study, I dig into the actual science, of course, but today I'm just going to skip over those details of the experiment itself and go straight to the only thing that I think really matters here, and that is the startlingly substantial and numerous conflicts of interest. All of them dutifully disclosed by the authors, as no doubt required by the journal and seriously underreported by virtually everyone else. It didn't even get mentioned on sciencebasedmedicine.org. Dr. Harriet Hall did a short post about this one, and I was obviously you can expect, if you know SBM, you can expect this is going to be a skeptical article, and it was. But she focused on the science, pointed out problems with the science, and did not mention the conflict of interest at all. I think in this case, it's such a huge conflict of interest that you got to consider it. And I think it's the main thing. Many people badly want this study or any study like it about the power of the mind to be copacetic. I do too. I mean, despite all of my concerns, I would love it if this study was cromulent and copacetic and other fun C words. But not so much that I can see no evil. This clinical trial was conducted and reported by authors who stand to benefit greatly from its absurdly positive result. A paper like this is a valuable and profitable win for mind-body medicine in general and for PRT especially. I mean, it got its name, this modality got its name into the title of the paper. Ka and Ching. So it doesn't really matter what flaws this paper does or does not seem to have. And remember, the stronger biases tend to conceal flaws. I mean, if someone is actually being fraudulent, and you know, fraud does happen, unfortunately, in science, if a researcher is cooking the books, they're gonna go out of their way to hide that. So the closer you get, you know, there's a long, it's a spectrum. There's everything from totally unconscious p-hacking from, you know, researchers who absolutely mean well and are trying to eliminate the effect of their bias, and It'll still affect how they process the data, everything from that to fraud at the other end of the spectrum. And the further you move along that spectrum, the more likely it is for jiggery-pokery to get hidden in various ways. So again, it doesn't really matter what flaws the paper does or does not seem to have. The only way that anyone should ever trust this result is when it's been replicated by researchers without quite so much skin in this game. That said, I have an important disclaimer. I really think that conflict of interest is an overrated sin in science. So there's a conflict of interest. So what? Historically, science that gets funded by people with a stake in the results has often been, shall we say, unreliable. But it's not always a deal breaker. The same bias that can corrupt science often comes from the same enthusiasm needed to pay for it in the first place. It's not reasonable to expect science to only ever be done by people without any skin in the game. Dispassionate objectivity in science is largely a myth, also largely a myth in journalism, by the way. So it's a pet peeve of mine that some skeptics use the slightest whiff of COI to dismiss studies. Knee-jerk COA condemnation isn't skeptical, it's just sloppy cynicism. And here I am, dismissing a study, you know, entirely. I've shown my hand. I've said outright that I'm basically just dismissing this solely on the basis of conflict of interest. Why is that? Well, the severity of a COI has to be evaluated on a case-by-case basis. A lot of COI is perfectly fine, but not all of it. So let's evaluate this case. The COI dramatis personae, there are two personalities here that I'll dig into a little bit. Author Alan Gordon, quote, developed pain reprocessing therapy, a cutting-edge protocol for treating chronic pain. And he promotes that brand on the website painreprocessingtherapy.com. Obviously, Gordon can profit substantially from this study. And in fact, I went looking, you know, I realized that in principle, I'm like, he's got to be using this to sell PRT on his website. And yeah, sure enough, not just that. The website claims that the study, quote, validated PRT as the most effective current treatment for chronic pain. Not back pain, which is what the study was about, but chronic pain, meaning all chronic pain. I mean, that's that is a crazy overreach. Even if the study was perfect, it was a study of back pain, not all chronic pain. You see this routinely with trials that get cited to sell. The results are exaggerated and distorted at every level. You start with p-hacking of the raw data, and then that often gets described as something a bit more impressive in the discussion section of the paper, like saying that the results show a trend instead of just being statistically insignificant, which is an amazingly, notoriously common way to make scientific lemonade out of data lemons. Then another layer of hyperbole gets added in the abstract, which invariably makes the study sound better than it actually is. Then there's the press release and all the copy-paste journalism, which is where things really start to go off the rails. And then the greatest exaggeration of all always will come from the people citing the paper to help sell their wares. And this is a perfect example. There is no way in hell that the JAMA Psychiatry reviewers would have allowed a claim like most effective current treatment for chronic pain. No way. So yeah, author Alan Gordon is, he is the PRT guy, and this website of his is tremendously enhanced by this citation. Next up is author Dr. Howard Schubiner, who is famous for his research in books about the power of the mind, such as Unlearn Your Pain. Spend a couple minutes browsing unlearnyourpain.com, and it is clear that Schubiner has a brand And it is clear that that brand's star will surely rise higher with any science that seems to support any mind over pain claim. He is clearly deeply invested in all things mind-body medicine, and he is famous for it. So there's more. There's actually a huge conflict of interest disclosure. A lot of COI disclosures are pretty brief. If any conflict of interest is disclosed at all, it's brief and, you know, often pretty tangential. This is like a large paragraph and discusses COIs for at least a couple other people. And interestingly, it's not on the PubMed Central. I think that's is it PubMed Central? Yeah, PubMed Central. When you get PubMed results, and there is a full version of the paper available on the journal website, they will also publish it on PubMed Central. I do a lot of paper reading on PubMed Central rather than journal websites. And oddly, the journal website has the COI disclosure, but the PubMed Central version does not, which is interesting. Kind of, you know, obviously the way I'm handling it in this post, it's an important thing. It's an important thing to know about this paper. And it's just not there. It's missing from that version, which is kind of weird. Anyway, so there's more, but I've made my point. Schubiner's presence alone would have been enough to raise major concerns about the risk of bias here. So next, a little historical context. All of this has happened before, and all this will happen again. Mind-body medicine has a long and shameful history of excessive and premature claims, and many of the most prominent quackeries of all time have been fueled by the fervent human desire to believe in the power of the mind. A claim like, you can cure your pain by changing your attitude, it's nearly impossible to stop. It sells itself because we so badly want it to be true. I mean, you can basically, you know, rubber stamp any treatment modality with that claim, and it's as long as the marketing is slick, it's going to work on a lot of people. So this is really the perfect soil in which to plant seeds of neurological truth, fertilize them with book sales and TED Talks and scientific papers, and then those seeds, they've been turning into commercial empires for decades now. Minor variations on this claim, on all mind-body claims, have been tested ad nauseum, but have yet to demonstrate any kind of reliable healing power of the mind. And that's a statement I recognize, you know, many of you will be a bit challenged by, but this is a topic I've paid a lot of attention to, and I do not say that casually or carelessly. You know, so see also lots of my other writing. It's you really can't point to anything that constitutes a clear, reliable healing power of the mind. So what are the odds that this new candidate is what we've all been hoping for? I certainly would not bet on it. Maybe PRT works, but this study alone cannot possibly do the job of showing that PRT works, even if it was a perfect study, which it ain't. Even if it's a perfect study, which it ain't, it would be only one study and done by people with such obvious biases that we have to pretty much assume that there are probably hidden flaws. Speaking of flaws, let's wrap up with just maybe one thing about the actual science. I couldn't quite bring myself to completely ignore the actual substance of the paper. So here is the fatal flaw. It's not hard. It's so easy, and I'm so much more aware of this than I used to be. You see a study, you don't like it, it contradicts your bias, it's so easy to nitpick it and find flaws and dismiss it. And we got to be very wary of just always ignoring flaws in papers we like and easily finding them in papers we don't. But this is You don't have to, this is not a nit that I am picking. The control groups in this study, they're kind of terrible. They can't really control anything. Ashar et al. Told the people in the placebo group that the injections were saline solution. So they give them a placebo, and they tell them it's a placebo. They tell them, this is saline. We're injecting you with saline. So yeah, okay. Not actually a placebo control there. And it's not as nuts as it sounds. I mean, there is a method to their madness. Presumably, I know exactly what they were up to. They were compensating by telling them that placebo is powerful. This is leveraging the extremely dubious but well-known claim that you can still get a placebo effect as long as you sell it. And that's a topic I've written a bunch about, and you can read about it in my placebo article. Search for open label placebo in my placebo article, which is at painscience.com/placebo. But the thing is it's just kind of a crazy thing to do in a clinical trial. It's why bring that into a clinical trial? All it achieves is confounding the study with a huge methodological curveball. It's nuts. It's not surprising that they did it, though, right? It kind of fits, because it's another bit of weird mind-body medicine that these authors were undoubtedly entranced with, and too entranced. So they used it for their control group and ruined their control group. And like, no serious researcher is going to look at that and without thinking, huh, strange choice. And then there's the usual care group, which had the same problem that usual care groups always do. You can do literally anything to people that's unusual, and it will probably outperform usual. And that does not mean it's effective. So when you use this methodology, and then you conclude that your therapy is effective, that's a problem. Dr. Edzard Ernst called that unethical pseudoscience, referring to specifically and exactly this phenomenon. This is a couple of sentences from his book, More Harm Than Good, and he's writing about a very closely related study, purely by coincidence, Churkin, in 2016, which is another one about the power of the mind, with the same flawed design, and which I've also strongly criticized. And here's what Ernst and Smith had to say about this design. The A plus B versus B, so that's A and B together versus B alone, that design, the A plus B versus B design, can only produce positive findings. Any such study allegedly testing the effectiveness of therapy X and concluding that it is effective ought to be categorized as unethical pseudoscience. So that's what they wrote about a study that is really incredibly similar. I mean, it's the same, practically the same study in spirit and in key details of execution. And Ernst and Smith called it unethical pseudoscience. I'm not going to go that far, but I am going to say this is a bad paper and not a good experiment. And it is done by people who are basically guaranteed they have high stakes in the outcome, and it simply cannot be trusted. And that is the post for today. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.